Were. Come from God, I go to God. Amen. A lot of them out today. But God's left us with a way. He left us with the minister. Amen. Brother Ted's gone too. Pray for him. Brother Moore's out enjoying life. John and Jeremiah. They're having fun out west. And we got a job to do here. Amen. Here to worship. So don't look to me. I'm looking to you. What's the body going to do today? We all should be pretty nervous. You say, Lord, what would you have? Here am I. Amen. Well, let's sing another song here. Yeah? Well, good.
When he said a job to do, each of us do have a job to do. A lot of people sitting there and thinking, why can't I testify like so-and-so? Why can't I preach like... Well, why would he? You're not testifying what he's already given you.
Right.
You have a job to do. Why would he keep giving you something if you're not going to share it? You're not going to give it to others. You're not going to edify the body with what he's already given you. You got to step forward. When God says something, step forward, do it, fulfill what he says, then he can give you more. But if you're not going to share, if you're not going to go forward anyway, why would he do it? He might as well just speak through a rock. We don't want to have a rock up here and a microphone next to it to listen to it, because you won't say anything. You won't do anything. You won't share what God's given you. We each have a part to do. The numbers are small. I'm a big number by myself. I got three right there. And like, you don't walk with Prater, you walk among Prater. I'm happy with everyone that's here. I'm excited about this and stuff. And while I was sitting there, all I could think of is Jay better not even bother to get up, because he's got a job to do. I'm hungry. I'm ready to listen to it. And I'm going to do my part. When God tells me to do something, I'm going to share what he has said to do.
Amen,
the more you share, the more he's going to give you.
Yeah.
No point in giving you something if you ain't going to share, because that's what all this is for.
So
sure this is on. Is this, yeah, it's on now. I'm closer. I was thinking on the way to church, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. I still have my mother to help take care of, and that's where I'm going this afternoon. And I'm just thankful that we still have her with us, and I want to thank God that I'm able to go back and forth and do that type of deed. But most of all, what I was thinking when I came this morning is I get to go hear God, you know. Amen. I get to come to the place that I want to be at, and I can receive what is said. That is the greatest gift that I could ever receive, and I just thank God for being able to be here.
I want to give God praise. You know, I want to be obedient. I don't want to buck God on anything. But I just want to give God the praise for, one, for letting me come here one more time to hear what he has to say. It doesn't matter who gets up there as long as he gives the word.
Right.
Long as God is in him and he produced the word, it doesn't matter who's up here. So I just thank God that I can be a part of this great story, love story.
Amen.
And I also thank God for my health. You know, I Tuesday I got to go for another heart catheterization. My doctor says that one of my right valves is worsened. But see, I can't accept that, because I have a God that's a great healer, and he said that, you know, he will never leave me comfortless. He will always, you know, deliver me from anything, because he says, I'm God all in all, and who's in you? Who are you going to believe? And I just don't want to go in there fearing, because, see, that God is not the master of confusion.
No,
he is not. But I just want to thank God that I can walk in the place, lay down there, let them do what they need to do.
Right. Trust him all the way.
And just trust him all the way. You know, because he's got it.
Right.
Wherever he wants, he's going to get.
That's right.
Because, see, he gets the glory. Not me. It's not me. You know, it's him. You know, and that's the only way people going to see it is through us.
Right.
So I just want to just say thank God that I'm here. Thank God for all of y'all. And thank God for this great word that he has given to me. I didn't do nothing to get it.
No.
I couldn't do nothing to get it. He chose me. I didn't choose him. So it's just a wonderful thing that I just love this message, and I love everything about it, and it's just all me. It's talking about me, and I just love God, and I just want to just give my part.
Amen. Can I say something, Brother Don?
There you are.
I just am thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the mystery that God's revealed to me. It's so great, so powerful. It takes care of everything in our lives. I appreciate it. You know, everything that we ever needed was taken care of before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And I just want to give him some praise. Today's my worship service. Like you said, I want to do my part. And I want to help put Brother Jay in there. Put that spirit over. Help him. I want to give my praise and get that anointing, that little lick of fire. Amen. F. You deserve the glory, F, please.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. The glory and
Get that in no kind of key, but I know one thing, he bought me out. I like the words of the song. I can't sing it. Let me say this. He gave me a song, was a new song of praise. By day and by night, hit sweet notes I will raise. My heart is overflowing. I am happy and free. I praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. Now, somebody, where's Joy? Come on. Somebody that can get up in the key, come on and sing the chorus. Come on, honey. You know what? God is here. And I don't care who gets up. I don't care who does it. The Holy Spirit, I love it. I love it. I thank you for it.
My heart was distressed, and Jehovah's red brown, and so in the bed where my sin I cried to the Lord from the deep my replace, who tenderly brought me
well to God and of the miry clay.
of salvation at home and abroad. Till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul.
Supposed to do it by yourself.
Amen, amen. Now this offering is for Texas. So let me just say this real quick. It's for Texas. Brother Morris said we're going to send this offering today to Texas to help them in the flooding down everything.
I can't lose it, and I can make it. You know, God did it all, and all he wants me to do is praise
him. Hallelujah.
And I want to come here and praise God.
Amen. Then do one thing for my salvation. Not one thing.
You know, I was thinking about Brother Jay's message, the characteristics of God, you know, on Wednesday night, and kind of ties in with the song and what Sister Elise was talking about. Wednesday night when Jay was preaching, you know, it reminded me as I was a kid growing up, we had different breeds of cattle and horses and dogs, you know.
Right.
If I said, hey, what's a Doberman look like? You instantly see what those characteristics of that Doberman or a boxer. Those are all different breeds of dogs, you know.
Right.
But we're a breed of God. We're the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate that. It's a beautiful message, Brother Jay. Characteristics.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Father, I see that you were drawing line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my peace. Let the worshipers arise.
surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm just surrendering. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons daughters sing. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Can we sing it one more time? Hallelujah. Oh, let the worshipers
arise.
Let the sons and the daughters. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender my all. My all. I surrender to the King. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Amen. It's good to be here this Sunday morning. Amen. Let the record reflect. I wore a jacket, so I can take it off now. I'm going to get comfortable. Thank you. It's Sunday morning, and I'm coming here to have a good time. You know, if you were going to a party, you'd want to dress your best, and then when you get there, you have a good time. Somebody spills something on you, it's okay. You get a little sweaty, it's okay. I came here this morning to have myself a good time. You know, I appreciate the testimonies. I appreciate what was said, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, please remember the brothers in prayer. They travel, and, you know, when they come back, we'll be happy to see them. I'm going to sing one more if the musicians come back up. I'm going to sing one more. I'm going to do announcements real quick here, though. September the 17th, we got a birthday party after service for a little man over there. And then September the 24th, we have a church is going to be doing another eat out after service like we did before at the shelter on September 24th. And then October the 27th, we're having our fall party. It's going to be at Jeremiah and Lisa's house. They'll post the address in the back. They got a new place, so they got a big yard there, so we're going to have our fall party there. So that just gives you guys some, you know, the rundown of the lay of the land for September and October. I'm going to sing one more song. Key of A flat. I need thee, Lord. Amen. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour, I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior. Come, oh, as I come to thee. Easy song, hallelujah. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee so now, my Savior, as I come to thee. Let's sing that together. Hallelujah. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee, so bless me now, my Savior, as I come to thee. I need thee, Lord.
God, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So bless me now, my Savior, as I come, as I come to thee. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. That's a beautiful song. You know, it's interesting. You know, my wireless on and all that kind of stuff. It's interesting when you hear the songs that we sing, and how they're recommended and all that kind of stuff, and you think that what your input is not important, but you know, the song "Father, I See the Worshipers Arise" was Brother Jim in a parking lot, and he just said, "Hey, Brother Jay, you know, we could, this song, I like this, maybe we can do it," and now it's sparked to something that, you know, we did it at Easter. We love that song. I love that song, and it's a beautiful song, and even that song, I need the Sister Don just mentioned it, but you, just different things, the input, you'll see how it impacts the body, and it's pretty important. So that's awesome to see. So always keep the recommendations going, and you know, that's right, the body's just edifying itself. So I love to see that. Well, I'm here this morning and looking forward to what God's going to do. Amen. I got a little thought on my heart that I wanted to talk about today, but you know, the services have just been amazing. You know, talking about doctrine. You know, Pastor Moore, you know, brought out the Godhead, and Brother Jeremiah brought out the different classes of people. And then Wednesday night, I was talking about the characteristics of, you know, the bride. You know, you know, we can talk about different groups of people, but I only like to talk about believers, because that's the group that I'm in. You know, when somebody says back your mail from where you're at, I'm a believer. So the only group of people that I know the most about is me, is my group, is believers. So, you know, I'm going to hone down a little bit more on that again today. I'm going to talk about the gift of discernment. You know, because we was thinking about, you know, some of the characteristics and what comes with that as a gift. You know, and thinking about that is how that works out. So I'm going to read two scriptures, and then we'll get into it. First one is Thessalonians 5. And turn over to that. It's a really quick one, but I'll turn over to it. And so we provide a point of reference. Thessalonians 5, verse 21. And there it is. It's a very simple scripture. But it'll tie into what we're trying to do here. If I can turn over there quickly. I'm the slowest person. you get nervous. And here we go. Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. It says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I like that, was to prove all things. So there's got to be a group of people that knows everything is right. That's what I'm getting at here. So then we'll turn over to 2 Peter 1 and 3. And I'll read that. Yeah, I'll turn to this here. I should be able to get to Peter faster than I got to Thessalonians. And then a quick thank you to the body for this Bible, because I've used it up. I haven't, you know, I was thinking, I haven't been in the Bible as much, you know, since Sunday school, but then when the church got, because when you graduated from Sunday school, they gave you a Bible, and that was like the last time I had read one until the church gave me one, and, you know, because you read it in church, you know, somebody references scripture, you look at it, but you weren't taking it, I wasn't taking it home, and combing through it and looking through different things, but you know, there's a benefit to it, and you can see some things there. And sometimes, you know, a minister will only reference, you know, a part of that scripture, but the whole beautiful story there is there for you to look at and read. So, you know, take advantage of it. I know the church has done different things to buy Bibles and stuff like that, so take advantage of that. But anyway, I'll turn over here to 2 Peter 1 and 3, and we'll read down through verse 8. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness. and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That was my readings there, but I was starting to think, and I said, you know, I want to talk about discernment, because when you have as much knowledge as we have, we do know all things. We should be able to exercise that. You know, and discernment, you know, quick story, you know, I'm going to give you guys a definition of discernment, but, you know, I was riding around with Pastor Moore one time when I was younger, and I had heard a word from Brother Dwayne, and he had said a word, and I picked it up, and I think we had the definition of it wrong. I forget the word, but we had the definition of it wrong. And so I'm trying to quote it to Pastor Moore, the word, and we're at like a Wendy's, and he's like, I don't think that word means what you think it means. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, well, Dwayne said it, so, I mean, like, back up now. Like, if Dwayne said it, that's what it means. Like, that's the gospel, basically. And I was looking at him, and then eventually I come to find out we were both wrong. And we were wrong as wrong could be. It's actually the opposite. It was like abundance and barren. Like, it was two different meanings. Like, one meant surplus and one meant don't have anything. And I had it way wrong. So I didn't have anything that I thought I had. But anyway, when we talk about discernment, sometimes, you know, you will hear a word and you don't really know what it means. So discernment is the gift of being able to quickly tell right from wrong. The ability to judge well. And then it talks about, in like a spiritual sense, judgment with the view of attaining spiritual direction and understanding. You know, so there's got to be a group with discernment. You know, in the Bible, they talk about different stories. And one of the wisest men in the Bible was Solomon. He had the gift of discernment. That's what made everybody from every nation, everywhere, come over to see him and see what he had to say. And I can look at that honestly and say, this message has traveled all over the world to every nation, and we have been able to confound everybody with our gift of discernment. We have the ability to know every man we meet at any given time that we meet them. And it's not that we're so smart. It's just that God hasn't hidden anything from us. That we've been taught. We have the knowledge of this thing, and it makes us different. You know, so when I looked at that, you know, Brother Branham said, you know, greater than Solomon is here, and I have to say the same thing. Greater than Solomon is here right now, there's a group of people on the scene that have a gift that nobody else has. You know, you think about gifts, you talk about wanting healing. Healing works if you're sick. It's limited in its ability, but discernment, I know everything I see. I can cut right to the quick on everything. You know, Brother Branham said this. He said, why is it that they've got it off in all kinds of isms and creeds and dogmas, and you can't tell what is what? He's saying, why is the world so confused? It's exactly the way they've always done it. But God promised to straighten it out to the seed at the end time. He promised to provide the knowledge, the ability, the discernment, the gifts to a group of people at the end time that would be able to tell right from wrong and to know what they're doing. And when I look at what we have, we're the only group that knows what we're doing. Everybody else will get thrown off on any creed and dogma, anything, tradition. And I look at that and say, how can it be that we're living in this crazy world? Why would we need this? Why? But even in there, Brother Brandon was talking about how when Solomon lived, it was the millennial time. We call this the millennial age right now. It's a lot of parodies there that go together. But he was looking at that and said, never has there been so much crazy information that God has to raise up a standard for us. And I look at that and I say, well, how does that work? It's just God gave us the gift of discernment. You know, we have something that nobody else has, that nobody else had access to. So when you see it like this, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what God has given us. You know, I was thinking, you know, we come in here to this church and we get taught all these things. I mean, we go through the Godhead. We go through the doctrines. We go through predestination. We go through the seed chapter. We go through serpent seed. I mean, all these things that we get thrown at us. But there's got to be a group of people that knows exactly what's right. That at this time, at the craziest age, we can't be walking in confusion. God has got to give us something that he's given nobody else. You know, when we think about the word that we get here, it's different than everybody else gets. But it's not because we're so smart. That's the thing that separates. It's not because we're so educated. It's because God has revealed it to us.
But the part that should make us jump for joy, saints, is that it was nothing that we did. It was where I come from that he's obligated to give it to me. That's when you talk about I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed back to my previous state. I've been redeemed in my mind. I'm in eternity when we're talking about these things. The only people that can know and understand eternity is the people that come from it. Otherwise, you're trapped in time. Otherwise, you're trapped in traditions, and anything can throw you off. You think about it. You have something so solid in the revelation, and you think that somebody else's marital status should throw you off? It shouldn't throw you off. Somebody else's sexual orientation should throw you off? That shouldn't throw you off. Whether somebody's black or white, that shouldn't throw you off. You should have a revelation that's grounded, that's true, that you understand that God made me. God made me for this very purpose. God raised me up like this. Who am I to say to the potter, why do you make the clay thus? I look at my life, I look at my questions, I look at these things, and I go, God did this for me. Why did I have to be raised up in this age with the things that I have is to combat this age? I am the standard. They should try. When they come from around the world, they are astonished at the knowledge that we have. You know, they said Jesus had them confounded at 12. Well, I got them confounded at 36. I got them looking at themselves saying, how does this happen? How can you speak with such authority? How can you speak with such wisdom? Because a greater than Solomon is here right now. You got somebody on your hands that can. You know, we have the ability, and I've heard it said before, we have the ability to go to work. Work and deal with HR issues, deal with any other type of issues that come up from what we get here.
Right.
It's not a seminar. I don't come in here and pay a fee for a seminar. It's not $35 a seat. But you know what? God gives us things that we can use in our everyday life. Why? Why, saints? Why does he give us what we can use in our everyday life? Because he said, you'll be more than conquerors. Because he said, I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm keeping you from it. That means he's got to give me what I need in this hour. We talk about it all the time, but I don't, you know what I won't need in heaven? I won't need the power to forgive in heaven. I won't need that. It will not be necessary. I won't need healing. It will not be necessary. But in this hour, those gifts, those callings are necessary. I need those right now, so I'm taking every bit of. That's why they got to be restored. That's why those gifts had to be restored. Now, that soul has to die off. Don't get it confused. That soul can't be restored. It either accepts or rejects the word. But you only understand that if you understand the three. You got to understand your flesh, your spirit, and your soul. You see how these things tie together? I mean, you've got to know, you've got to have a good foundation to follow with this thing, because otherwise, we'll take you in some pretty deep water. We will take you in some pretty deep water that you can't swim. How can Pastor Moore say, my God's bigger than your God? That's some deep water. That'll put you in some deep water. How can Brother Childers say, my God's bigger than your God? That'll put you in some deep water if you don't know how to write and divide this thing. How can God say, I'll take your Holy Ghost away? That'll put you in some deep water if you don't know how to write and divide this thing. How can he say, I'm the only one that's going to make it? If there'd be one person for Fairborn, I'm going to be the only one to make it. And look at you and say, you have to say the same thing. Because when God deals with us right now, he deals with you as an individual and ties you into the body. You no longer can get by on your parents' understanding. My mom's ability to discern doesn't help me. My daddy's ability to sing won't help me. My brother's ability to serve God won't help me. When you come into this age, it's full maturity, full expectations, and you have to accept the full word of God, not your family. It's as for me in my house. This right here, my house. That's who will serve the Lord. I look at all these things, saints, and I go, why are we required to know so much? We're required to know so much because they're looking to us. You talk about being the bride of Jesus Christ, everybody's looking to us. We're the ones that are judging the nation. We're judging this crazy, neurotic world. And, you know, I look at this and I go, God raised up this small little group of believers. And we kind of want to be surprised. But every story, every memory, every message had a small group of people.
Amen.
Now, I mean, it's just weird that, you know, we say the pyramid gets smaller going up to the top. It's weird to say that not all will believe it. It's weird to say that we're one in a million, but we expect 17,000 people to be at church. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. It's not for everybody. God said, I love and I hate. Some people can't handle rebuke. Some people are not called for this thing, but we're called for it. We're expected to do it, and he's put something in us to handle it. You know, I was thinking all these things that what we get here is just amazing. You know, I was thinking, you know, even as I was getting nervous for service and you know, what we had to do, but I know God's going to show up. I even sent my brother the text and said, you know what I'm waiting on. Yeah, I'm waiting on him to get here. But I come here expecting him to show. You know, that's another subtle difference, people. We come here expecting him to show. I'm not coming here hoping that God makes his way. I'm not coming here thinking that he's not going to talk to me. Guess what? If I come in through the doors, he saw that. Guess what? He made the message just for me. Guess what? He's going to present it in such a way that I can't help but understand it. He's going to present it in such a way that I won't leave with questions. I'll leave with answers. He's obligated to see me through. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not. I don't study Catholicism. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm a believer. I'm Christ-like. So I walk like Christ. I act like Christ. I talk like Christ. And guess what? He was required to know some things. He was required to do some things. I'm required to do some things. You know, Brother Mike said it best. We got a job to do. We have a job to do. We're the ones that are getting the dead up. Hope that don't shake you. But all the messages that we preach are building to get the dead up. That is our whole purpose. I could care less whether you ever stop wearing makeup. I could care less whether you stop getting tattoos. I could care less whether you stop drinking every night. I could care less. All I'm about is to get the dead up. Because I understand that if you love God like you say you do, you'll do what he asks you to do. I'm looking at this even more. I'm going, why? And, you know, that's what Jesus said. Why can't you understand my words? It has no part in you. So when I'm standing in front of a group of people that it does have a part, when I'm standing in front of a group of people that do have a receiver, I know you can understand my words. I know you're picking up what I'm putting down. I know you love the word. And that's it. It's, you know, as we go on, saints, we're just so blessed. I can't even, you know, I look out across the body and I think about like just the different walks of how we got here. I think about what God had to do to make us get here. You know, that's why Brother Branham could say, you know, a natural birth was more miraculous than a spoken birth, because of all the stuff that he had to do to get you here. You know, what he had to do just to make this service happen. He had to do something with Sister Sue's family, Brother Don Deska's family, Brother Jay's family, Brother Doug's family, the Allens. I mean, he had to do all those things to get us to this point right now. So that's why I look at it, and you know, Brother Jeremiah said years ago, he said, I've done everything God's asked me to do up until this point right now. Because he was leading and guiding. He was the one taking care of. If I failed, he knew I'd fall. If I needed something, he'd give me the correction. God's doing all this thing all the way through, but I'm looking at this, and you know, it, like I said, it's just a simple thought, but we have the gift of discernment that nobody else has. You know, because they're thrown off to and fro on every wind and doctrine. And if you don't believe me, watch what happens. Let me show you how this works. Let me show you how this works. If a homosexual walked into the church, they don't know what to do. They get confused. They get confused on somebody's sexual orientation. It throws off their revelation. It throws off their belief of what heaven can be. It throws off what they think their God can do. It floors them. If somebody came in drunk, they don't know what to do. They actually tie salvation. Let me show you how different you are. They tie salvation to your flesh.
That's the truth.
That's how different we are from the world. We know no man after the flesh. We know no man after the flesh. We understand how leadership works. I understand if God calls you to do something. I understand that you need to dress right dress. I understand that. I get those things. But I don't tie your salvation to your flesh. I don't. That, because I know so much. I know that your spiritual realm will go up and it will go down. I know that. So I don't care whether you want to hear me preach or you don't. I don't care whether you want to sing or you don't. I don't care whether you sing off key or you don't. I don't care what that part is, because I know that is an inlet for Satan. That's some things that we know that they don't know. Guess what I do know? I know that my soul is eternal, and that is the only thing I'm taking with me. Guess, these are things that we know, saints, that makes us different than the rest of the world. Because when you have that balance, you can write and divide everything. You can. You can write and divide every situation, everything that you face. You can discern every situation. But unless you have those tools, be hard-pressed to do it. You'd be hard-pressed to do it. You'd be faking. You'd be, and that's why Pastor Moore can say, I can outlast you. I can outlast you. Because if you're just faking and you think you got this thing, and guess what I learned as well? I didn't even know how to serve God until I knew who he was. I didn't know how to serve God until I knew who he was. Before I came to the truth of this thing, I didn't know what God was. He was an idea. He was a myth. He had powers that I didn't know. He was an unseen force. But when you come to this revelation, you understand that you're in the Son of Man ministry and that God is in flesh in this hour. So you have to be able to see God. You have to be able to see God and man, or you're not in the right message. You're in the wrong day. This day that I'm talking about is for believers that see God in flesh. You have to be able to see that. You know, because otherwise you'll be confused. Otherwise you won't know how to judge. Otherwise you won't know every man that you meet, because God will be an unseen force. You know, when you think about what we get, and I say that because it just astounds me that we have been just given this gift so freely. You know, until I knew who God was, you know, I thought that praying, this is what I thought. I thought that praying off to myself was the best way to contact God. Now, how foreign is that if I come to church and I can see God in flesh? Why would I then want to hear what he says and then go pray about it? God's word needs no interpretation, people. God will make it plain, simple English instructions to you. He may say to you, testify. I don't need you to go back and pray about it. I don't need you to go think about it. Just do what he said, and the fruits will bear itself. I don't need to, you know, until you know who God is, you didn't know what God wanted you to do. You think about this. You think about how silly it would be. And we use the analogy of marriage. How silly it would be for somebody that doesn't know me, my wife, my family, or anything, to tell my wife what I really want. I've been married 13, 14 years. To tell her what I like and what I don't like, what really makes me happy, what food I really like to eat, what songs I really like to hear. You have no knowledge of me. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me, and you've not been with me. It would be foolish for you to even open your mouth. That's how we sounded when we came in here with our creeds and dogmas about what God wanted. We would come in here and say, God wants me to speak in tongues. Did he say that to you? Is that what he said to you? God wants me to preach. Did he call you to preach? You think about these things. God wants me to be a deacon. Is that what God said to you? To your face? Because I don't want any rustling of the leaves. I don't want any clouds in the sky. This is the Son of Man ministry. God needs to speak to you in flesh. Otherwise, it can go up and it can go down. Otherwise, it's room for interpretation. Otherwise, it was how you were feeling that day. But I'm blessed to know that God comes in here and speaks to us in flesh. And we get such, you know, Pastor gave a great illustration about how we get things lined up. And, you know, it has to flow back through that pastor. You know, we talk about even our thoughts and our things that we come up. When it runs, it has to tie back through him. Because otherwise, you got to drop it. Otherwise, it's got wiggle tails in it. You know, that's the same thing Pastor Moore would say about what he gets. That's why he said so strongly. He said, if Brother Childress gives him, says, hey, you know, that was a great message. He says, I got it from you. It's got to tie all the way back. Because if it doesn't tie, we don't want it. We can't have it here in this day. Because we got too much of a responsibility, people. We got too many people depending on us to let any type of dogma, any type of creed, any type of ism get in there. You know, and the other thing I'm going to get on here a little bit, talking about discernment. When you know every man that you meet, that should, and we say this before, that should give you rest when nobody else has it.
That's right.
It really should, because you should not be afraid of every situation.
That's right.
Because you know God's with you. He's in you, and he's leading and guiding you. That when you come across a difficult situation to the world, it should be a different reaction than a believer. That's what I'm looking at. You know, we talked about the brother going to the funeral, Brother Ted. He had a different reaction when he faced that situation than the rest of the world. When you think about, that's how our body should be, is that we should be different. We should be different. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of why I'm different. I know it has to be that way because I know more. You know, all these things tie, saints. All these things go together. All these things are for a purpose. But God just is blessing this little group. He's just blessing this little group with the understanding, with the knowledge of the mysteries. And there's not a revelation that we haven't been revealed to us. You know, when the opening of the seals came, we're still crying. You know, Pastor made a point, and it was shocking to me. But we're still breaking down what Brother Childers brought in 73. We're still breaking that down. I mean, we're still taking nuggets from that. That just shows how vast the information is when you come and step into eternity. It's never, it never ends. The thing I love about this service is that it always gets sweeter. Like, the more I learn about God, the better I feel. The more I want to come back. The more I want to get more. I don't get enough that I think I don't want any more. I need a 3-week break. No, I need more of it. I want to hear more about it. I want God to reveal himself to me more because I know I need this more than anything else. You know, I always tell y'all, but I say it again. One of the best things that I learned was that I need God on my best days just as much as I need him on my worst days. When you come to that point in your life, when you realize that, then that should settle you down on a lot of other stuff. It really should, because, you know, whether I get a job or lose a job, God has still been good to me. That doesn't change whether God's been good to me. He's revealed all these things to me. I don't tie it into fleshly, worldly things. God has been so spiritually good to me that all these other things fall into place. Oh, it doesn't even matter. You know, all the stuff that we get. But I wanted to go back over here and look at this. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, not just there quiet, not just there dormant, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not another group that knows more about the Lord Jesus Christ than this group. I can say that with authority. I can say that with power. And another thing Pastor Moore was saying, because I basically, you know, when we're getting ready for the services, we don't have like a bulletin board of, you know, we're going to talk about this today, talk about that today. No, I come just as nervous as you come, whether you know you're going to sing or you're not going to sing. I come just as nervous, whatever the case may be. I come that nervous. But I was thinking about that, but there is a boldness that comes with this knowledge that we have here. It's that I can talk, like Brother Mike said, just talk about what God has done for you, and that'll be enough. I can talk about what he's done for me, but, you know, Pastor Moore mentioned, he said, you know, the boldness that we get here is not stubbornness. I'm not stubborn. Like, I'm willing to be malleable or amiable or flexible to whatever God wants me to do. I'm not stubborn in that sense, but I'm bold in the fact that he is using me. I am bold in the fact that he does love me. I am bold in the fact that he's obligated to see me through. I am bold in those things, but it doesn't make me stubborn to where I'm going back with my leadership. It doesn't work that way. It flows downstream. But I surrender it all. But I look at these things and I go, God, what he's just done for me. You know, we shared a little bit on Wednesday, but our life, when I can look back, I mean, I have to look back. I'm flesh. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't. But I can tell you what he did for me yesterday. I can tell you how he blessed me this morning. And what I know is that he's blessed me so much that if he never, 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 never revealed another thing, he's done enough. That's how solid I am. That's how positive I am. That God just continues to bless me. I know he'll give me more. Because part of this message means you have to grow. You have to grow. If you only understand what you understood 2 weeks ago, you're dead. You're not growing. You have to continually to move. I can guarantee you this because they've even said it. Brother Childers knows more now than he knew in 73. He has more information on it. We grow from that revelation of what Jesus Christ has showed us, but you gain more information as you go along. So in this thing, we have to grow, saints. You have to understand more how that power of discernment is for you. You got to understand more how the Godhead works. These are things that God is obligated to reveal to you, but you're obligated to pick it up. You know, when we talk about a receiver being there, that receiver should be receiving the word, and it should be just changing your very life. It should be so easy for you to look back on your life and see how God has been moving in it. It should be that profound. It should be that astonishing that you look at and go, I can't believe where he's brought me from to where I am today, this Sunday morning. That's why that song just chokes me up. Because if you knew where he's brought me from to where I am today, you know the reason why. You know the reason why I love him so. These things come to my mind and it just, I get speechless, saints. Because I know I could be out there in this crazy world, lost, miserable, flowing to and fro, going downstream. But instead, God has given me gifts. God has given me abilities. God has given me these things so that I may understand the knowledge and the mysteries that nobody else can understand. I can look at the book of Revelations and get excited about it. I can look back on the brothers that went through the ages and get excited about it because it ties me into the body. I don't look at Columba and think that that's something that I don't have. I don't look at the Lutheran ministry and think that's something that I don't need. I'm tied into the body. I even understand what age I'm called in. These are things that nobody else gets, saints. You know, you have to understand that we had a prophet. That's a requirement. You have to understand that. Our prophet was William Branham. But that's still deep water. Because when I tell you we had a God prophet, you got to understand them both. Well, you got to see where William Branham decreased and God came on the scene and revealed that man. He was the only one that could do it. Those are things that we understand that nobody else gets. They look at that and go, well, how can he be God and man in one? You're looking at it. How can I be God and man in one? You're looking at it. It's the Son of Man ministry right now. But all these things just go together. They tie. And I just get beside myself because I'm just like a kid in a candy store. You know, we got Brother Childers here. We got Pastor Moore here, Brother Jeremiah here. We got these saints here that's been through this thing. We've got references. You know, I finish up school stuff and, you know, you get references. The better your references, the better your paper, the better your all these things. You know, we got the best references. I've got the ability to reach back to a Brother Childers and get the best references. I got the ability to go to my pastor and get the best references. I've got something that, you know, because and for the younger people in school, you know, you'll try to cite something on a paper and they'll tell you not to use the internet because you'll try to pick what's called Wikipedia. And that's a reference where anybody can put any information they want on there. And so they say that's an unreliable source. That hasn't been proven. That hasn't been tested. That hasn't been true. That hasn't been proven right. It may sound good. It may look like the right answer all part of the way, but I want something that's not been disputed. I want something that is proven right. That's what we have here in this thing. I've got references that have been proven right all the way throughout that have never been wrong. So I want to use these references. So I'm looking forward to everything that God's got to do for us. I had that simple message of the gift of discernment this morning. Come on up, musicians. And remember tonight, we, you know, celebrate your Labor Day weekend. No service tonight. So give you guys that heads up. So there'll be no service Sunday night. Remember the brothers as they travel. And God bless you. I'm going to sing a song and I'm dismissed. It's good to be here. Yeah, go ahead, Brother James. Come right here.
Earlier. Praise isn't for him. He's not an egomaniac. He don't need our praise. He's who he is without it. That praise is for us to see who he is and how big he is. And once you see how big he is and what he does in your life, then your problems seem small.
Yeah.
And I was looking at other things. And if it's good for me, it might be good for someone out there. So I thought I'd share it.
Amen. God bless you, Brother James.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Dwayne.
You're talking about how discernment can help you in your own job. And on Thursday, I actually found out one of our students had passed away.
Oh, my.
And I haven't really had to deal with that. And this was a student that was pretty involved across campus. And I knew it was going to have a lot of impact. and his family just wanted it to be known as an unexpected death. And that was tough. And just having to deal with about 30 kids that really loved this guy. And I was like, God, you just need to heal in here. I knew who I was in the room.
Amen.
I didn't even have to say anything.
Amen.
I was like, God, you come in this room, take over the situation, heal these hearts, heal his family, and just be with them. And I appreciate knowing that I'm the Son of Man in every room I go into.
Amen, Lord.
And this...
Bless you, Brother Dwayne. Amen. Yes.
You know, I wanted to say something when I was sitting in service, and, you know, I thought, well, I won't do it. But then the other ones get up, and it's just us sharing what you've done for us, what your ministry has done. And I appreciate that I have a place to come that gives me the knowledge I need. Amen. Every service, and you said, where he's brought me from, all my whole life I've been able to be brought in and listen to the word.
Amen.
And I appreciate that so much. And I was thinking, you know, Brother Dwayne, you know, you have discernment because that's who we are. We are Christ. We have discernment.
Amen.
We are the Son of Man. And I was thinking how that God so cares about the flesh, so cares about the, doesn't care about the flesh and the spirit, that when he can meet someone, not even know anything about their flesh or their life, he can give them eternal life.
Right there.
That's, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. That's how little he cares about what we do in this life and only his seed. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We're going to sing page 43. Oh, somebody be happy. Go. It's here in front of me. It's on. You're good.
Oh, thank you. The healing, oh, yes. Day and night, my back and my neck just so tight.
Yeah.
I can't sleep, you know, and you have to do. And just mostly lay down. But you can't do that. And so, but... here I asked for healing, and he gave it to me.
Amen.
No pain.
Amen.
I keep wanting to go back to, oh, but I got to do this, I got to do this, and try to feel better. No, he said, don't do that. You know, I gave it to you. Amen. Believe it, and just keep on going. Don't.
Amen.
What you got to do, and thank you. Just ask, and he gives and gives and gives. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
This is to the body of God. I just want to thank you for your blessings and continue to pray for our family.
Amen.
Thank you for everything, each and every one of you.
Thank Amen.
You. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you.
Jay,
yes.
I just sit here thinking, listening to all the different testimonies, and, you know, your mind just goes to the Word of God. And, you know, I'm thinking about God sent us a prophet. And then he quickened the message to Brother Childers. Every ministry, God, it was like the mailman. He has a message, but the message is not really for the mailman. There's a destination that message is going to go to.
Right.
And then my mind said, God is not going to do anything else. He has already done it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, for me to grasp what is already here is a revelation of what God has already done. He's not going to do anything else.
Right, right.
And this body, what he has placed in us, is off the charts to describe it. Mm-hmm. And now God is just quickening to me the revelation that I am not two people. Mm-hmm. Once you grab that word, you've been destroyed,
right,
and somebody else is here.
Right.
And that's why Paul said, it's not I, but Christ.
Right.
You, and then when I saw that, I said, when I listened to Dwayne and the things he's dealing with and Sister Dawn and this, I'm able to see the invisible, visible. I cannot express what this, I just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I throw my hands up to grasp what is actually here. He said all those people, all those ministries, to put it in one, I can't say it.
Amen.
Oh my gosh.
Amen.
Who are you?
Amen.
Hey, can I say something?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
One more.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that my parents are on their way to Alaska, so everyone keep them in their prayers. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary.
Awesome.
And I just want to say that they're such an inspiration, and they're just, you know, it definitely shows that if you put God first, anything can happen. Anything can work out. Their relationship is amazing, and they're definitely goals. So I'm blessed to have them as parents.
Amen. God bless you. Remember them as they travel. We're going to turn to page 210. How great is our God, the splendor of the King. Remember all those that are traveling. Remember the announcements of the 17th, 24th, and 27th. Lots of stuff. Go ahead, sister.
I just want to say that with listening to all the different services and the test and everything, it's been it has been a lot easier for me to deal with because I'm not perfect. I mean, I'm perfect in the sense of what God made me. I'm exactly what God has made me. I'm exactly where I want to be. But from other people that look at me, you know, they can look at my past and they can
say, another Pharisee.
You know, where you've been. You're not, you're this or you're that or you're not this or you're not that. And you know what? I'm free inside because people are always going to say whatever they're going to say.
Right.
But I know where I'm going. I know where I came from.
There you go.
And all this stuff that he put on me, all this stuff that I have been through is for God. It's for me to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me to meet people. It's for me to do things that I may not ever understand in this flesh. I may never know why, you know, I went through some of the trauma that I've been through. I may never know who I've blessed and who I've impacted because of the things that I've seen and done. But I know that everything that has happened, whether I perceive it as good or bad, is all for God.
Yeah.
And it glorifies him. And I'm willing, you know, I would be willing to do everything again, because if I didn't do exactly what God wanted up to this point, I would not be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
But God willed for me to be here.
Yeah.
God willed for me to be in this body, to know that I'm the bride. God did all this.
Mm-hmm.
God did all of this. And all the stuff that has not come into my reality right now that God has already said I'm going to get, it's already done. All I got to do is just accept it.
All right, just
praise
live.
It, praise
just
praise
live. Page 210. How great is our God? Key of G, the splendor of the King. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. Our God, how great is our God? Hallelujah. How great is
our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. You're dismissed, amen. Name above all names.